This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number four, top of the hour here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mid-Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook. I'm Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill. This is your Live Bet Saturday. You can follow me on Twitter at BottomLineLex. You can follow Will at NotTheWillHill. Make sure to check out his Should Have Bet More podcast. Always very good. Gil Alexander's on it, the one that was released yesterday, so make sure to check that out. With NFL win totals and process. I enjoy the process. I'm looking forward to listening to that. But I'm also looking forward to cash the tickets here tonight in Major League Baseball as the Mariners, Cal Raleigh, gets victimized again by a great play in the field. Watching that batting average keep going down. The Mariners are still losing 4-2 to the Mariners right now, or to the Cubs right now. And as we're in the bottom of the sixth here with two outs, Peterson's still on the mound for the Cubs, 94 pitches for him. Also, the Dodgers are up 4-2 now on the Pirates. Just a couple innings ago, the Dodgers were underdogs in this game. No more. They are big favorites now, more than minus 200 against the Pirates. As Scooble's still on the mound. He's gone 5 1/3 now, 9 strikeouts so far for Scooble. So that first inning, maybe he put that behind him here, Will. What do you think about these two baseball games?
Yeah, Scooble has certainly bounced back. So, again, anytime Scooble gives up 3 runs, that's not like a vintage A-plus Scooble. Just can't hit him. But when you factor in the fact that 3 runs in the first and then second and third with 1 out in the second, you're thinking, man, what's wrong with him? It's going to be a quick night. He gets out of that jam, and since then, he has settled in. The line right now for Scooble, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 9 Ks, 3 runs, they're all earned. So, again, a hidden inning, a walk, he's getting hit a little bit, but maybe it's not the end of the world, and maybe by the time October rolls around, Scooble settles into kind of his new environment, and he's back to being dominant. But it's now 3 or 4 starts, because he started against the Cubs that first week they traded him, pitched against the Royals, pitched against the Brewers, and now this is his 4th start against the Pirates. If you go back and look, all of them are kind of like this, where gives up a run or two, tonight 3. He's been good, but he's not unhittable. So we'll see here if it's just, you know, again, it's a high bar. Is this a situation where just being too harsh on him, or, you know what, he's fine, don't worry about him, and you give him the ball in game 1 of a playoff series, you don't even think twice about it?
I'm not completely convinced yet, Will. I really am not, because like you said, I mean, it's so many of these pitchers, from Skeens to Hunter Green to, you know, so many of these guys are just going down with the same type of injuries right now. So it's hard to kind of look at these things and take it. One of Will Hill's best bets, top of the 8th inning, Rays are still up 2-0 on the Orioles. Live betting line has the Rays about a minus 860 here. So the odds makers think have a good thoughts about the Rays here, but we're at the bottom of the 8th now. We'll figure out if the Orioles can get anything done, as we are now through a 7.5 in Baltimore. Some other games, Giants still up on the Red Sox. We were talking about them earlier, wondering why the Red Sox kind of aren't what they used to be. Yeah, well, they're 2-0 now. Giants at the bottom of the 6th. A's and Astros are 1-1, top of the 7th. Angels up on the Rangers, top of the 8th. Rangers only have 1 hit in this one. Angels up 3-0 in that one. Royals up on the fading Tigers. Royals up 3-1 in the top of the 8th there in that one. And, of course, the Guardians in Colorado up on the Rockies, 3-0. Reds also up on the Diamondbacks here. That's a little bit of a surprise to me. It was either Diamondbacks or nobody here, but I couldn't lay that kind of chalk with Arizona. Reds up 3-0 on the Diamondbacks. Twins also up 3-0 on the Padres. Anything other than the big games in Major League Baseball catching your eye right now, Will?
No, just trying to keep an eye on everything, because a bunch of Major League Baseball games, some interesting matchups, the Anderson debut, Scooble going, Rays Orioles is a big game, and then 3 football games, which I just saw. Kansas City somehow got a field goal before the end of the half. I saw last time we updated this, Tampa had the ball just shy of midfield, 1.5 minutes left, so I don't know if it was a punt return or if it was, because it's hard, as people have been complaining about, and they're right. It's hard to kind of keep track with these preseason games because you need the apps, and the apps don't update and all this stuff. Yeah. But it was, let's see how Kansas City got the ball back. It was a incompletion. So I guess Tampa went for it 4th and 5, right around midfield, incomplete. And that left Kansas City a chance to kick a field goal. And oh my goodness, Butker from 69 yards. I shouldn't say oh my goodness, because this stuff is just routine now. A very nice, as you would say, field goal from Butker. 69, it's up, it's good. So that takes it from a 6-0 Chiefs lead to a 9-0 lead. So funny from Tampa from a game management standpoint. All right, fourth and five midfield. Let's go for it. Let's be aggressive. Well, if you're going to go for it and you're going to be aggressive, you got to realize that guy can kick it from pretty far on the other end. I know it's not a real game, but it's that's a game management scenario. 8 seconds left in the half, fourth and five from midfield. To me, if you're going to go for it, you got to take as much time as possible, have the quarterback run around, and you got to throw a Hail Mary. I know it's, you know, kind of hindsight and second guessing, but if you run around, throw a Hail Mary, and then the clock runs out, you're good. I guess the thought is, hey, let's convert, let's get into field goal range, but you're leaving yourself vulnerable on the other end, and came back to bite Todd Bowles and the Bucks on that situation.
Yeah. Butker from 69. Yes, that's very nice. And middle school Brad would have had a field day with that one, but that's another story for another day. 9-0 Chiefs over Tampa at the half in that one. So, yeah, the in Cincinnati right now, we talked about the sharp money. Bengals have scored again. 24-9 now are the Bengals up on the Bears. It's hard to believe. Live betting line there. Bengals 14.5-point favorites, total 48.5. And that's 11 minutes to go in the third quarter. About 6 minutes to go in the third quarter in Foxborough. Patriots still down 14-10 to the Eagles. Eagles 5.5-point favorites on the live betting line, 36.5 your total. And, of course, coming up a little later, about an hour from now, it is Dallas and Arizona. Dallas still a 1.5-point dog, 38.5 your total. I'm on the Cowboys and the under. I think Will's with me on the under there. So those are your games. By the way, there's an NFL game tomorrow night. Sunday night football, if you can believe it. Seahawks and Titans. Titans 4.5-point favorites here. Total 37.5. I love the under in that game tomorrow, but we have seen that line. Tennessee opened 2.5. They're up to 4.5. Real quick, your thoughts on that game before we get back to baseball.
Yeah, I know there's been some sentiment for this, the Titans, which is why it got bent up to 4.5. Salah, a first-year coach, maybe a little more motivation. First-year head coach has been an angle. A lot of people have liked to play over the years, figure, all right, come in, new coach, emphasis on winning, new culture, all that stuff. That being said, anything laying over a field goal to me is very dangerous. So I'll pass. It would just be a lean towards the Seahawks. Your look with the under is probably not a bad one, but one I'll ultimately pass. By the way, New England and Philly, Baron Morton, the old quarterback from Texas Tech, in the game for New England as a punter, his third punt of the night. So I'm not sure what this experiment was. I was not aware of this, but Morton looking to either make a career change or looking to be kind of a dual threat. Hey, that's a good way to stay on a team. If I can punt and play quarterback and do different things and, you know, have a little versatility, sometimes those guys are the guys that stick at the bottom of the roster. But was not aware Morton had a little punting ability. I don't know if the original punter got hurt or what the situation is, but an unusual circumstance there with the third, fourth string quarterback Morton, the rookie, with some punting duties here tonight, Brad.
Danny White, the original starting quarterback, starting punter for the Dallas Cowboys, the guy who took over for Roger Staubach. So that's way before your time, Will, I know. But that's what I think of punter and quarterback. That's the one guy. I think Tom Tupa, that was another guy.
Tom
who played
Tupa,
quarterback,
was
also a
yep.
I think that was he was a Tecmo Bowl guy, so of course I knew that guy. So those are the two that come to mind when I'm thinking quarterbacks and punters. So, yeah, that's another thing that we're kind of looking at. By the way, Will, there is a game tomorrow in Major League Baseball I'd like to ask you about. It is the Yankees and the Blue Jays. Yankees are down now. We talked about this a little bit earlier, very beginning of the show. They had started a minus 150 favorite, or the Yankees. They were down to minus 140 when the show started. Now consensus, they're about minus 135. Looks like the money's coming in on Toronto in this one. Soriano versus Rodon. Total's gone from 8.5 to 8. We have talked about, you've talked about, crazy time, how many unders that the Yankees have hit second half of the season. How would you play that game between your Yankees and the Blue Jays tomorrow? Minus 135 Yankees, 8 your total.
Under. They're just an under team until further notice. I know it looks like Cody Bellinger will probably be back. That helps the offense in theory, although he's been off a little bit here. I'm not laying this $1.35 with the Yankees. I don't like the 24 hours they've had with Weathers being hurt. I know that doesn't affect the game tomorrow. Stanton being out, I know he hasn't been playing anyway, but under. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And, you know, you either got a push or a loss if you had the under today. And I wasn't on it. The 6.5, which was mostly widely available, it just scared me off even last night at around 7. It's hard to stay under 7, but 8's a different story. Bullpen's been good. Bullpen should be rested. They didn't have to use their main guys today. So the Bednars, the Blackburns of the world, Hedrick, they should all be available. And look, the pitching's really good and the hitting is really struggling. Until you get Judge back, that's really a lineup that's got some issues. So under eight is a play for me. It's hard for the Yankees to get eight in these games. Just seems like every time you look up, it's 2-1 in the seventh with one of these Yankee games.
Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the Orioles have hit a 2-run home run at the bottom of the eighth inning. Basilio has hit a 2-run home run. McClanahan was so good. 5 strikeouts, 4 hits in 5 innings.
Yeah.
But the bullpen has blown it for the Rays. We are now 1 out in the bottom of the eighth. It is 2-2, Orioles and Rays. That's what we're coming up on right now. So we will keep an eye on some of these baseball games before we come back for the break. But that's baseball. Next week is week 0. Week 0 of college football. It's almost here. And then the NFL regular season is right behind it. So now is the time to get your edge with VSiN Pro. Join VSiN Pro today and get instant access to both our college football and NFL betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's top analysts. And that's just the start. You'll also get daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, plus 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Start today for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Mariners get out of the inning, and now they're still up 4-2 going to the bottom of the seventh here. We are going to keep an eye on all these baseball games and the football games that are going on right now here on your live bet Saturday. Will Hill and me, Brad Taylor, we're coming up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here in Franklin, Kentucky, from Mint Gaming Hall, right above the Circus Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor, along with Will Hill, here on your Live Bet Saturday. As Will is kind of wondering, you know, I was on that hot streak of 14 out of 15 over the last week or so. So yeah, you were. Make sure to look at the VSiN Picks page, where you can see Will Hill's picks. Outstanding over the last week or so. Make sure to check those out. But we've got games going on right now. And with the Mariners and the Cubs, Cubs are still up 4-2. Bottom of the seventh, they're showing the standings right now. And the Mariners are 3 games out of the wild card, but they have so many teams in front of them. Have we ever decided on who's going to get that last wild card, Will? Because I remember last week we were in a dilemma. Who are we going to put in the last wild card? You can make bets on who's going to be the exact 6-7 seeds or whatever. Or do you have any best bets for those? Because, man, your guess is as good as anybody's when it comes to this stuff, it feels like.
Yeah, and the 7 seed wouldn't do you much good because it's only the first 6 make the playoffs, but you're 100% right. FanDuel, DraftKings, they offer who will be the 6 seed. And really, you could bet any team for any seed. You could bet any of the seeds. I've been more of a Baltimore guy. I liked them before the season. I thought, you know what, they've just got the most talent of these teams. But, hey, your guess is as good as mine because these teams – they're all under 500. They're all under 500 for a reason. They all have flaws. They all have warts. And, you know, 1 week you think it's Baltimore, then the Yankees sweep them. And, you know, the next, the Tigers are hot and they're cold. I think I would still go Baltimore, but it's hard to have any conviction. You know, Toronto, they go from being hot to cold and vice versa. These teams are just all not that good, which makes it fun. It makes it interesting. I think the big takeaway for me, it was fine when we had the 3 division winners, 2 wild cards, and the 2 wild cards would play a 1-game playoff to start the season. We get one of them out of there. So you essentially had 1 wild card in the real playoffs. All these teams are doing it. College football playoffs going to add teams. NBA's added play-ins. NCAA tournament's going to expand. There's just too many playoff teams in all these sports. But it's all about the revenue and extra games and extra, you know, all of that stuff. But when you have these teams 3-4 games under 500 and they're squarely in the mix of playoff races, it's just, it's not the idea. It's not how baseball is supposed to be played when you're playing 162 games.
Sports Talk Radio, Will, just said that it's all about the money. More people, more games, more money. That's exactly why they're doing it. By the way, Orioles right now to be the 6th seed, exactly 8-1. That is as of the moment.
Not bad.
And you can find those odds all over the place. White Sox at the AR 8-1 as well, but you have to figure in, well, that maybe they'll be seeded differently because of the division. The Mariners right now are 14-1. to be the eight, to be the sixth seed when it comes to this. So yeah, the exact seed maybe gives you better angles on maybe the, who's involved and who's not involved. But yeah, to earn the sixth seed, that's a very difficult one right now as we're watching this baseball. It looks like the Mariners are putting a little bit of a rally together. They've got a man on second now and one out in the bottom of the seventh. And so they're still down 4-2 are the Mariners against the Cubs. And right now, the live betting line, the Cubs are only a minus 389 right now as we see Thornton in from the bullpen with a sweeper. I like the way they put the sweepers, like I used to do on Nintendo RBI. So the total is 8.5 in that game. And, of course, the Dodgers are still up 4-3 on the Pirates. They're a minus 620, top of the seventh inning in that one. Dodgers up 4-3 on the Pirates there, total 8.5. Anything else in Major League Baseball? The Rays are still 2-2 against the Orioles. That's a big game right now. Orioles, minus 120. That game's at the top of the ninth now. And that total there is 5.5. So anything could happen. If that goes extra innings, that's an over waiting to happen. Anything you're looking at in Major League Baseball, Will?
No, but that's a big game because not only the battle for the sixth seed between the Orioles and these 9 million other teams in the American League and pretty much outside of the Angels, the A's, and the Royals, everyone is pretty much in the mix. But big game for Tampa. Yankees cut that lead to 3 coming into today. Yankees lose a game. Yankees lose some players. And Tampa's got a chance to get that back up to 4. Keep in mind, for betting purposes, and I think the line to open today, going into today, and with the Yankees losing and having some injuries, it's probably going to tick up. But Rays were minus 250 to win the division. Yankees were down to plus 190. And these teams will meet 4 times in September in Yankee Stadium. I think it's September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. A doubleheader on that Tuesday. Then they play Wednesday and Thursday, the final week of the season. So, for the Yankees, you probably want to get a Judge back and be within a game or two, probably a game, because anything more than that late in the year, you're asking a sweep or win 3 out of 4. But these teams will meet again here, 4 crucial games about a month from now.
Current odds right now, American League East, Rays minus 240, Yankees plus 230. So they're giving you some value with the Yankees here. Not a bad play for Yankees plus 230 right now to win that division, Will.
It's not bad, but Weathers is hurt. And Stan's not coming back. I just don't know when Judge is going to be back. Freed's hurt. I get it. If you tell me, hey, I took a shot on the Yankees plus 230, I understand it. But, the reason we like these unders every day with the Yankees, they can't score. They can't hit. Jazz Chisholm's been a disaster. He's a free agent entering the year. That would be a very quick negotiation if I'm on the other end of the table. Garcia's a nice bat, but our boy Ben Rice has really cooled off, and asking him to carry the offense at this stage of his career, that's asking a lot. It's an okay bet. I don't think it's a great bet. I think it's an okay bet.
Speaking of division races, we were talking about this last week, and the Phillies seemingly had no chance to win that National League East. Now, feels like they do. Minus 280 are the Braves. Phillies a plus 220. This time last week, they were closer to 8-1, 9-1 to win this division. Phillies with a pulse to win this National League East?
I think so. Braves seem to lose every day. Phillies seem to lose every day. And it's funny, Brad, and you were on top of this. You said last week, hey, I wouldn't be surprised if the Brewers or the Braves, one of those teams, cost up the division. Then we looked at the standings. I think the Braves were up 8.5 games. Like, man, this late in the year, 8.5 is a lot. That being said, hey, when you win every day and the other team loses every day or vice versa, you can make up some games in a hurry. And we've had this little ping pong, this kind of a yo-yo where Atlanta started out the year hot. They had a huge lead. Philly would get closer. Atlanta would pull away. Philly would get closer. Philly hasn't been able to kind of just sustain it. It's almost like in basketball. You're down 20 points and you got to use so much energy to claw back and get it even. Then you end up getting ahead and taking the lead's a different story. So we'll see if Philly can get even or get close to even, but I still think Atlanta wins, but I can understand taking a shot at the plus 220, similar with the Yankees, where I would like a little more. You could have had better numbers. I think it's an okay bet, but not one where I think it's like enough where I'm actually going to get it in the account.
Here's a prop for you. Major League home run leader at the end of the season. Schwarber right now is plus 110. Alvarez plus 175, Matt Olson plus 240, Caminero is 6-1, and our guy Ben Rice, 15-1. He's got a pulse at least. Does anybody other than Schwarber have a chance to win this thing?
I don't have the numbers in front of me for the homers. Do you have them in front of you?
I thought I did, but not for the actual homers. But the thing is, I was Yeah, exactly. I was trying to get your take on that so I can get some actual numbers there.
You threw me an alley-oop, and the alley-oop went right over my head, out of bounds, turnover, and Brad Taylor's coming out of the game, and the coach is yelling at him.
Well, that's all the fault of the point guard always gets blamed for that, and rightly so, to be quite honest with you. So it's quite all right. Schwarber with 37. Olsen with 36. Goodman of Colorado, not even included in this. He's got 34. And then PCA with 32. Those are your National League leaders. Does anything kind of stick out to you? Maybe is Schwarber the 37? Do you think Alvarez can catch him?
And how many does Alvarez have? I guess plus money on Alvarez makes sense. Again, it's like the other bets. It's probably properly priced. I don't look at that and say, wow, I gotta get up right now and drive to the book and cut in line to bet that. I don't want to lay a price with Schwarber with this much time left. Although he's pretty durable, you don't really worry about him getting hurt. And for all the concern all year of Alvarez, you can't bet him to win MVP. He gets hurt too much. He's not getting hurt. He's not slowing down. He's played pretty well here the entire year. But no, not a market. I got to be honest, with all the markets they post, it's hard to track everything. I mean, you're getting ready for football.
Yeah.
We're watching baseball and totals and props and the season long stuff, divisions. It's a lot to keep track of. Now, from a better standpoint, it's a lot for them to post too, and it's hard to post sharp numbers on all these markets. But it's good to take a little time aside every day, Brad, and just see what's up, see what's available, shop around, and see what you can kind of find.
Alvarez 36, Caminero 35, and so those are the two that we kind of left out of that one. I will ask you this, just kind of a philosophy type thing. As people, I know you handicap baseball every day. I've got money on these games every day. Once we get to football season in September, and a lot of teams are playing meaningless games, I still strive to handicap every game during baseball season. How do you handle, once football starts, your approach to Major League Baseball and a lot of meaningless games?
I don't ignore it. I still bet it. I will admit those Saturdays where you get the full college football card and the Sundays with the full NFL card, it does take a little bit of a backseat, but it shouldn't. Money's money. We always say that, whether it's the Super Bowl or a preseason week two game with the Cardinals and the Cowboys, your money you win on it is the same regardless. So I try not to let it take a backseat, but again, there's only so many hours in the day and so many games you can handicap.
Yeah, that's when we get down to the end, that's the most important thing to me. If you're handicapping baseball in April and May, you should still be handicapping it in September as well. But coming up after the break, let's talk to Brandon Kravitz. Let's talk about some all kinds of sports, including fantasy stuff, out in Vegas this weekend. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Football season is right around the corner, and just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study, props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Join thesharps.com or just scan the code on your screen right now. Use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com. Use the promo code VSIN. We are here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mint Gaming Hall right above the Circa Sportsbook. I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill. This is Live Bet Saturday. And without further ado, let's bring in our guest. He is the weekday host on 96 The Game, 96.9 The Game in Orlando. You can follow him on Twitter at Brandon Kravitz. He is Brandon Kravitz. Brandon, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. I was settling in to watch some preseason football, and I think about 95% of these teams are playing no one of value. So this is where we are already. I swear, guys, they should start televising joint practices, because these preseason games are nonsense at this point.
Oh yeah. They say the joint practices are much better than the games is what the insiders tell us. Brandon joining us on the Progressive guest line, but Brandon, I've got a question about the AFC West, And yes, everybody's back in on Kansas City. All is forgiven. Patrick Mahomes is back. They're going to win the AFC West all over again. And in fact, the odds say that they are going to win the AFC West. Do you believe that? Or do you think that Denver still has a chance and they're still the best team in this division?
I think Denver is, by a decent margin, still the best team in this division. And I don't fully understand the love and jumping back in on Kansas City. I know that we all adore Patrick Mahomes and we trust in Andy Reid, but this roster is getting older, slower. They have very real questions on defense. They've got real questions on the offensive line, and we still don't have a clear sign that Patrick Mahomes is the best version of himself. You know, and talking to some of the doctors that are out there, like, what kind of version of Patrick Mahomes are we going to get? He's going to be able to throw the ball fine, but in terms of the mobility that we're used to seeing from Mahomes, it's not going to be there at 100%. And so you're not going to get full Mahomes. He's still going to be one of the NFL elites. And he's certainly not the reason why I would fade Kansas City. But if I'm not getting him at 100% and I have all those other questions, and you have a team in this division, let's not forget, guys, the Broncos were on the doorstep of the Super Bowl last year. Their starting quarterback got hurt and they still almost went there. And all they did this offseason was improve. I loved the Jalen Waddle addition, the type of versatility that he can bring to a Sean Payton offense. And they are being treated in the betting market like anything but one of the AFC elites. Top flight defense, top flight offensive line, great weapons, elite coaching, elite home field advantage. I'm just having a really hard time finding things I don't like about the Denver Broncos. And then the other team that's favored ahead of them is the Chargers. What the hell has Justin Herbert ever shown us? He's consistently let us down. The Chargers are overvalued every year. So the fact that the Broncos have the third longest odds in the division is madness to me, but I'm going to take it a step further, guys. I like them to win the conference 10-1 to win the AFC.
All right, Brandon, it's that time of the year. Fantasy football drafts, you get together with your high school buddies, college buddies, guys you only see a couple times a year, and you can just, you know, bust chops, have a couple beers, and have some fun. From a fantasy football perspective, can you give me one guy that you think is really overrated, maybe one guy you think is being underrated, kind of underdraft here from a draft position standpoint?
Yeah, I think one of the guys that we've seen that's been overrated a little bit is Travis Etienne, HN. I don't know if we've made the full transition yet on him. Like he has had a nice year last year. This is a guy that's not been one of the NFL elites the way that we thought he might be coming out of Clemson. And while Alvin Kamara is dealing with an injury, he's going to be back in about a month. That puts him back within a couple of weeks of the season. They're not going to move off of him completely. I think this is going to be much more of a timeshare. And look, Tyler Shuck proved that he can deal the rock. So I think Chris Olave is a guy that I was a little bit down on, gets a boost with the Jordan Tyson injury. That's a little more serious than what Kamara is dealing with. I'm just seeing Achan get overdrafted, especially with the Kamara news. I wouldn't overreact to that. Cam Scataboo is another guy that I would put in that category. This is a guy who's coming off of a very serious ankle injury, one that I feel like I'm taking more seriously than he is when you look at the way that he's backflipped his way through the offseason. And I think the Giants are telling you a lot by bringing in Najee Harris. Malik Nabers would be another guy. I have not heard glowing reports about him being at 100%. So he's a guy that I really like talent wise. I think can have a great year and be an elite wide receiver one. I just worry that we're not going to get the best version of him. And if Jackson Dart isn't up to speed in Matt Nagy's offense, that could hold him back as well. So those are three guys I'm looking at that I'm just a little bit colder on than what it seems the consensus is. I continue buying Jordan Mason. That's been my favorite sleeper this year. I think the Vikings offense is going to be electric with Kyler Murray now at quarterback. I mean, I know they took a step back last year. That was very much due to poor quarterback play. When this offense has just a competent quarterback, they are among the best. They add Juwan Jennings to the mix. Jordan Addison not on suspension this year, and Justin Jefferson is still one of the best separators in the league. You can't stack the box against them, and Aaron Jones is getting a little bit long in the tooth, so he's a guy that I don't want to draft. I'd rather have Jordan Mason, who's a really tough between the tackles runner in an offense where he's just going to be running free. And then come on, guys, we're watching the preseason together whether we like it or not. How can you not fall in love with DeJuan Stribling, the rookie of the San Francisco 49ers. He's got a very real path here to put together some elite numbers. Mike Evans is 33 years old. I don't think Deebo Samuel is a real threat. And Ricky Pearsall's on the shelf. So, I mean, it's like, and he's in an elite offense with an elite quarterback with Brock Purdy. There's a lot to like about him. Offensive rookie of the year as well. Follow the fantasy guys. This guy's zooming up the draft boards. Well, we ought to bet into it as well. I don't think the market has shifted enough on him. 13-1 for offensive rookie of the year on DeJuan Stribling. So bet him, draft him. I think he's going to be great this year.
John Harbaugh is the new coach of the New York Giants. New York Giants just humiliated the Miami Dolphins today, 26-3. Easy money to go over that 7.5 win total, right, Brandon?
You're baiting me into this one. No, any version of the Dolphins getting embarrassed this year is not reason for confidence on the other side. Certainly not the taxi squad version of what is already a pretty bad roster, but you know that as well as I do. I'm going under on their win total for the New York Giants. Just in talking to some people who cover the team, the reports surrounding Jackson Dart are not positive. Matt Nagy is asking him to play a more traditional style of quarterback, not the dumbed down Ole Miss RPO version that Brian Daboll was using. Not because Brian Daboll is a bad offensive coach. He was trying to save his job. And if you've got a rookie in there that doesn't know the complexities of the quarterback position, I just have to play whatever style of offense he's comfortable with. The pass rush for them is great, and I don't deny that, but the secondary still has major holes. It's the reason why they ranked 17th in sacks last year. The secondary can't cover anyone. It doesn't allow those big bodies, those elite athletes like Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau to get after the quarterback and really pin their ears back. Malik Nabers, as I mentioned, not 100%. And if Jackson Dart can't lift this team, I'm just not sure that John Harbaugh or any Harbaugh can save them. And they're not going to be embarrassing because they have John Harbaugh, but them climbing to 8 wins after winning 4 last year in a division where I think everybody else is getting better. I love the Cowboys this year. The Eagles aren't going anywhere, and the Commanders can't be as embarrassing as they were a year ago. So I don't know how the Giants get to 8 wins. I can't imagine betting the over on them.
Last minute, real quick. NFC South winner. Who you got?
Give me the Atlanta Falcons. And if for no other reason, guys, than that they have the longest odds to win the division. If we are flipping a four-sided coin here. I want the one with the biggest payout. Give me the Falcons at 4-1. I know we don't love Tua as a quarterback. Let's not forget that he has still produced as many 4,000 yard passing seasons as anybody else that's in this division. The pass rush takes a bit of a hit with James Pierce on the shelf. They can still get after the quarterback, elite offensive line, the best weapons in the division, and an improved head coach in Kevin Stefanski. So I'll take the Atlanta Falcons in a division that is just pure trash from top to bottom.
You can find him on Twitter at Brandon Kravitz, and you can listen to him weekdays from 3 to 6 on 96.9 The Game in Orlando. Brandon Kravitz, thank you so much. I hope you're right on that Falcons pick, because I think I might put a little piece of money with you on that one, just for the exact reason you said. Thanks so much for joining us. Go cash some tickets for us, will you?
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brandon.
Brandon Kravitz. At Brandon Kravitz. Make sure to check him out on Twitter. Coming up after the break, we're going to get some best bets, including week 0 picks coming up for next week. Yes, I've already got mine. I think Will's got some, too. We'll talk about that coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And down the stretch they come here on Live Bet Saturday from the Mint Gaming Hall here in Franklin, Kentucky. I am Brad Taylor along with Will Hill as we are coming down the stretch on this Live Bet Saturday, watching all the games that are going on right now. And of course, the games that we're keeping a big eye on. A couple of baseball games. Dodgers, bottom of the 8th, they're up on the Pirates, 4-3. They're about a minus 1,300 on the money line right now, total 7.5 of that one. And of course, the Cubs and the Mariners. Mariners are still down 2-0 now. We're headed to the bottom of the ninth in that one. Cubs going to be up by two. They are minus 2,300 on your money line, 6.5 your total. Anything else in Major League Baseball you've got an eye on right now, Will?
No, Dodgers get out of trouble. Man on third, two out. They bring in a lefty to face O'Neill Cruz. Fastball, strike three looking. So the Dodgers won a one-run game last night, rallied and scored in the 10th. After blowing a lead, they were down 3-0 today with Scuba on the mound. But the Pirates, since that top of the first, and it's funny, three runs in the top of the first for the Pirates, then second and third with one out in the top of the second. Here they are all these hours, all these innings later, still stuck on three runs. So the Dodgers have picked it up a little bit. This time last week, they were scuffling. They lost a bunch of series. Well, nothing like going to Colorado and then getting to play the Pirates. That's quite the cure. That's quite the prescription there from the old doctor. And Dodgers seem to be on track. Glasnow will start this week. Ohtani threw a bullpen. So maybe the Dodgers starting to get healthy here at the right time, as they always seem to do.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens with this Dodgers team. And so that's the way we're looking at that one. Oh, by the way, we do have something going on in Arizona right now. The Reds are up 7-1 in Arizona. Guardians up 3-2 on Colorado. So all the other games, Mets up 8-5 on the White Sox. Those are the other games going on right now. But in the world of the National Football League, where we have seen all kinds of craziness happen, yeah, they had the preseason games. Bengals up 27-9 now on the Bears with 11 minutes to go in that game. Bengals 18.5 point spread, 42.5 is your total. Patriots now up on the Eagles, 4:15 to go in that one. But the Eagles are still favored in that one. So that should tell you about where they're headed right now. Patriots up, but the Eagles favored by 1.5, 37.5 your total. Somehow the Chiefs have come out in the third quarter scoring. 15-7, Chiefs over the Bucks now. 5.5 favored are the Chiefs, 32.5 your total there. Those are the games going on right now. Top of the hour, Cowboys and Cardinals. Cowboys have flipped over some places now to a favorite. So I don't know if that's good or bad, depending on how you look at it, but that total is 38.5. Your thoughts on the NFL we've seen today, Will?
Yeah, Philly got a turnover right around midfield. New England fumbled. The Eagles are driving, look like, you know, in good position to maybe take a lead. They got an unnecessary roughness penalty, then a false start. So they were able to get a good chunk back. It's now 3rd and 5, a little pattern in the flat. It's caught. Nobody near the running back who will go into the end zone for a touchdown. So Philly, who was down by four or down by three, now leads by three. Extra point pending. Philly 20, New England 17. Not sure what that defense was, but that was just a little swing pass in the flat to the running back, and he basically walked into the end zone. So Philly now, and they had like 2nd and 25. Vrabel has to be furious because they had, you know, Philly right behind the chains, where you know, you figure just don't allow any big plays and you settle for a field goal attempt at very worst. But Philly up 20-17. The extra point is coming, and 3:39 left in this one. It's been a back and forth game, and this does affect the total as 21-17. The extra point is good. And depending on where you shop, I think for a total, we were right around 37.5, Brad. So I believe this does put this game over the total.
I think you're right. That's exactly where it was. The consensus when this thing tipped off was 37. That was the consensus line in terms of all the books kind of combining them. 1.5 Eagles were favored, but they are up by 4 right now. But that's what's going on now. We need the future. We live through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. We need winners. Will, your best bets for anything happening in the future, that includes potential week 0 games, Will.
Yeah, I'll go under 47.5, TCU, UNC. I just think both quarterbacks, not a lot of experience. We know Belichick, conservative, wants to run the ball, you know, kick on fourth down, you know, punt on fourth down. Not exactly, you know, go for it guy, which is ironic because Belichick was one of the first guys to go for it and be aggressive. But in his old age, and for whatever the reason, he's gotten more and more conservative. But I'll go under 47.5, lack of experience for the quarterbacks and all of those things, kicking off a season, lack of continuity on offense. And that market has come down on the under, but I still think there's some meat on the bone under 47.5. And I'll go with another under tomorrow, Yankees and the Blue Jays under 8. I know that this game went over the total today, depending on when and where you bet it, but the Yankees have been a cash cow to the under. Lack of offense, great pitching, great bullpen. That bullpen will be rested heading into Sunday. They didn't have to use any of their top three relievers Saturday, which is always something to look at. So it's been a profitable endeavor to back the Yankees on the under. Got off track a little bit on Saturday, but I will go back to the well here and say a Yankee under with Rodon on the mound against Soriano. Pretty good pitching matchup. Under is a play for me.
Those are very good, Will. I am going to be with you on the Yankees until the cops come by the party and tell me that the party's over. I have to take the lampshade off my head. Until they tell me the party's over on these Yankees unders, the party ain't over, if you know what I'm saying. My best bets going forward, of course, Dallas getting the points. They were getting points when we talked about this. Now, apparently, they're laying a point and a half, depending on where you shop. That is the old road dog mentality. I'm going under that game tonight, though, Dallas and Arizona, 37.5. Also, tomorrow night, home team favored, totaled over 37. Yeah, give me the under. Seattle and Tennessee, under 38. And, yes, it is not Coke Zero. It's Week Zero. Although I could use a Coke Zero after this show. But I'm with you. North Carolina and TCU under the 47.5. I will take it. Maybe we're looking for some bad weather to out there next week. And I love the good old conference road dogs. A legitimate Power 4 conference road dog. North Carolina State getting 5.5. Maybe hold your water. I see some places where this line has got some juice on Virginia at 5.5 now. You may be able to get 6 at some point this week. We'll see, but I'll take North Carolina State at 5.5. Also, the old conference road dog with the under. You see a little bit of sharp action on the under here. I'll go under North Carolina State, Virginia, 53.5. And aloha means Matt Eumanns. No, aloha means let's take the dog and the points. Give me Hawaii getting 5.5 against Stanford. Those are our favorite plays going forward, but this is something I ask Will at the end of every show every week, and it's already on the bottom of the screen. Did we learn anything today, Will? Between Major League Baseball, the NFL, did we learn anything today in the world of sports handicapping?
Yeah, something we started the show with. Deshaun Watson, what was the final stat line? 5-11 for 37 yards. It might be over in Cleveland, and it never really got started. But at some point, you know, the fans are booing him. It's almost like Cleveland is keeping him there to punishment. Like, hey, we traded for you. We made this horrible deal, horrible trade, horrible contract. You know what? You're going to have to just we made this bet. You're going to have to lay in it, and you're going to get booed every week. I don't see any reason to keep playing him. He's been bad. And I've been saying, you know what? Might as well just see if there's any last hope here to get some sort of football in production out of Watson. It doesn't seem like it's coming. He's thrown some awful passes. He looked bad again today. And I think if you're Cleveland, man, I wonder, and the market has favored Watson. I guess he'll probably be the starter week one, but I would imagine Sanders is the starter sooner rather than later. And I would not rule out Shador being under center in week one. At some point here, you just got to move on.
You know what I learned? I learned you should never bet against a rookie pitcher making his first major league start, because the Mariners put up 3 in the ninth and they are now winning. They won the game on a Rosarita home run.
Wow.
Mariners 5, Cubs 4. Knew it all along, didn't we? We know it all along. They've been telling us never bet against a rookie in his first major league start. They'll do whatever it takes. A Rosarita, yeah, he won that game himself. 2 home runs and he robbed a home run. And, of course, he did a nice little dance with the first base coach there, too. But Mariners take down the Cubs. That's not good news for Cubs fans indeed. Will, is there anything else you're looking for tonight or maybe the rest of the week in Major League Baseball or the NFL before we meet here next Saturday? I'll be in Las Vegas doing this show. So anything you're looking for this week before we get out of here tonight as the Mariners are walking the walk-off?
No, but I had missed that. So I don't know if that was a 3-run homer from a Rosarena, but they went from being ahead to behind. That's a dramatic victory. They had a walk-off last night. So you keep waiting for the Mariners in a West that's wide open, that's very watered down. They've got the pitching. They've probably got, if you just look at the names in the back of the baseball card, the best roster. Maybe a couple wins like this gets them going. The Astros not that impressive, and they're losing tonight to the A's. Rangers already lost, so you wonder if that's a turning point kind of moment here for the Mariners.
You do. And this is a turning point kind of moment, I feel like. At least I would say right now to win the American League West, I would bet against them, even with the Astros or whoever. That might be the spot, especially with the new guy in town. Will, thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Saturday night and putting up with our craziness. May the winners be yours this week. We appreciate it, buddy.
Always fun. Looking forward to next week.
Coming up next, Cashing Out with Scott Seidenberg. And then tomorrow morning, don't forget, start your day with this guy right here, Will Hill and John Jastrzemski on VSiN Weekend Morning Line. That's 9 o'clock tomorrow morning Eastern. And then at noon, Ready, Set, Bet. It's all right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.